We had a good lengthy discussion last week about trespass. And I just sat down with Vines. This is all Vines dictionary stuff, but I sat down with it and just wrote down a few things for it. As a matter of fact, I typed it out on the computer so I could go back over it because I can't read my own writing. But if you all want a copy afterward, just get up with me and I'll be glad to make a copy back here. But the word trespass comes from the Greek word P-A-R-A-P-T-O-M-A. It means primarily a false step, a blunder. It had parentheses akin to another version of the word to fall away that's used in Hebrews 6:6 when you look at and read about Hebrews 6:6 and the falling away. A fall beside. It's used ethically. It denotes a deviation from uprightness and truth. So that's what we were talking about. And the good thing about it is it listed a whole lot of places where the word was used. And I like to do that when I do dig into Greek, because you can find other places this same word is used and get a better feel or a better sense for the word or the thought that the writer's conveying to us. And this word, or a version of it, which would be a pressed or a present tense, plurality of something of that kind, uses of this word was used in Matthew 6:14, where it was translated trespasses. It was used in 14:15, and then chapter 18:35, all translated trespasses. Mark 11:25-26, where it's translated trespasses. And I can give you a copy of this if you want it after class. Romans 4:25, 5:15, 16:17, and 18 is translated offense. And I noticed when you study the Greek, this word offense, they use this word a whole lot to describe the definition of that word when you do a study on it. So offense, it's not surprising that it's translated offense in some places. 2 Corinthians 5:19, it was translated trespasses. In Ephesians 1:7, Ephesians 2:1, and Ephesians 2:5, it was translated in one place as sins and another place as trespasses. Colossians 2:13 was that way, where it was translated as sins or trespasses. Of course, in Galatians 6:1, it's translated fault in the King James Version. And in the New King James Version, it was translated as trespass. I think the thing that I liked about that is when you look at Vines, at least in the old version that I have, and it mentions Galatians 6:1 with this word, when it defines it, it actually refers back to the context that it's written in. That shows us just what we always tell ourselves and remind ourselves. Context is everything. Context will help you to figure these things out. And in Galatians 6:1, where it's translated fault in the King James Version, trespass in the New King James Version, it has a note, and it refers to the works of the flesh by the context of the letter in chapter 5 and verse 19. So that gives us a real good feel, and it makes perfect sense why that word would be translated that way, because that's what Paul was talking about. He's just left these works of the flesh. He's right in the same context, and he's talking about these trespasses or these faults that a brother would have when he would fall to these sins, these same type things. James 5:16, it was false in King James Version, trespasses in New King James Version. Interesting enough, in Romans 11, verses 11 and 12, it's used to describe the fall of Israel, their conduct and the fall that was there. So it gives you a real good idea. Like I said, I've got this kind of jotted down in my own words, but it all came from Vines. I like the way that Vines used the context that the word was found in Galatians 6:1 to help define everything else. Is there anything else that on that before we go on to verse 3 of chapter 6 in Galatians? Let's read verses 3 through 5, and then we'll make some comments about that. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. We need to be self-reliant. We need to be independent, I mean, as far as our knowledge goes, but not self-righteous, because that hurts us. Not to think of something when we're not was a note that I had. Not to be too busy judging and condemning others to be helpful. I mean, you can get to a point where you're no longer helpful. You lose your ability to influence, but not be too busy about judging others. We need to have the sense of responsibility that we have to our brothers, to step out of our comfort zone, to render aid and to help them, because we may be the next one that needs it. But we need to have that love enough to do it, but not to think highly of ourselves. Romans 12, verse 3. If you want to flip over there. For I say, though the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Paul's just reiterating the same fact when he writes to the church there at Rome about the same matter, but it brings out that point. But to think soberly, not to think more of yourself, to realize that we have strengths and we have weaknesses. It's probably more important to know our weaknesses than to know our strengths. But we got to know these things and got to use them with our brothers in a manner that we're helpful and not condemning of them. One's worth is determined by his actions, his works, and his deeds. His conduct must meet the test of God's law. If you look in Ephesians 6 and verse 8, just making some comments about these thoughts. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or whether he is free. Knowing whatever good that we do, we'll receive the same from the Lord. You know, we always say, treat those the way you want to be treated. We need to treat our brothers knowing that the way we treat them, that we will receive that good from helping them. For us, our own actions, it's not what our neighbor is doing or not doing. We can test our lives, kind of measure ourselves or our progress by looking at our works. Spiritual satisfaction for ourselves when we're measuring ourselves or looking at ourselves can only come when our works measure up to what God's standards are. Not looking at our neighbor, not looking at another brother, not trying to judge from these other things, but knowing when we're determining our worth or our maturity. Self-examination is not to puff us up, but it's to help us see the need of God's grace in our lives. And that's what it should do if we do it with the right heart. When we look at ourselves and examine ourselves, weigh ourselves to God's Word, it shouldn't puff us up. What it should do is reveal to us just how much help we need too. Our weaknesses, our helps, what we need. It should do the opposite of puffing us up. And we should put what we can to work with a brother. It mentioned there as it finished out those verses about our burdens in Galatians there. Burdens, for each one shall bear his own load. We have a personal responsibility. We'll all bear our own loads. We'll all bear that own responsibility for ourselves. We have a responsibility to help our brothers, but there's so much that we're responsible for in ourselves and nobody else is. It's up to us. It's not anybody else's fault if I fall short other than myself. I'm the one to check these things. Each person is responsible for his own life before God. I wrote down a few passages when we looked at that. 2 Corinthians was one. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 there, where we're told that each one of us will stand in judgment of the... We have a judgment to look forward to according to what we have done in the flesh, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or whether bad. Romans, if you want to look at Romans 2:16, I just jotted down a few of these. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. I love that one because it points out what we're going to be judged by. Christ reminded us we'd be judged by His commands, by His words. We're reminded here that's what this gospel is. And it's what we'll be judged by. If we go over to chapter 14 of Romans, look at verses 10 through 12. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Each one's going to be responsible for our own selves. It's up to us to get in the Word, to dig it out, to find out what's right and wrong, and apply it to our lives. No one can live a life for me. It's a burden no one can carry but myself. And I like this verse, 1 Peter 1, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. That says so much, that verse does. He's going to judge each one of us according to our own work. So we're to conduct ourselves for what time that He has allotted us to stay here and be here. It's like that open test, that open book test thing we often mention. We have the book. We have the open book. And we're going to be tested by what we did with it, how we lived our lives. And 1 Peter 1, verse 17, I think brings that together so well. Any comment on those three verses that we just read?
Mark and I studying in that talk about bearing each other's burdens. That is the love that we should have for each other. If you see me making a mistake, it's your responsibility to come to me as an individual and tell me that I will be lost if I don't correct my life.
That's exactly right.
Now that's love for me. Now if you ignore me and you don't mention it to me,
I often apply it to parents raising children. If they don't discipline that child, if they don't rear it, if they don't take care of it, the love is not there enough. You know, we need to have the love that would drive us to drive us to discipline that child, to raise that child, to educate the child. Just like you said, and with our brothers, that love is the motivating factor that drives us, that causes us to get up off our seat, step out of our comfort zones, and go to them out of love and concern for their souls.
That's why we have a local congregation. We are to help each other as much as possible. That's our goal.
Right.
For every one of us to make it to heaven.
Right.
And we need each other to do that.
Right.
It's like I tell the ladies in my ladies' class, I need them.
Yeah.